Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 189. This is part two, the conclusion to How's Your Memory? Today is Sunday, April 10th, 2011. Welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. Hey, time flies by, especially when your computer crashes and you have old software and you try to build a new computer and the old software. Anyways, it's a long and very sad story, but I am happy to be back. And just a little bit about that music intro. It was just a neighborhood group trying to, you know, copy somebody's music and all that. So anyways, I hope you enjoyed that. So here we are back. This is the month of April. Wow. Where did March go? I think we were in the computer world abyss, just kind of spinning around trying to figure things out. Yeah. Okay. I fired myself as hostess with the mostest, let the domain name expire, and we went through a little bit of a drama, I might say, with that. Got over that. The search engines helped me out, evidently, because I couldn't even deal with it. But we are learning Windows 7. We are going to be searching for some editing software. Now, I want you to know that Pastor Paul's messages are not edited at all, obviously, if you've listened to his messages. But one thing, you know, back in the recording of the cassette days, way back, there was, when the tape turned, you had that little bit of a break. And so your hostess with the mostess and all of her diligence has to go in and cut that. And that's about what I do. And then sometimes we have some long, you know, where the recorder recording audio guys were asleep and they were maybe talking about the sports game. And then when Pastor Paul, he started, you know, they didn't turn on the tape, or maybe they turned on the tape and then started talking and he was still putting his mic on, you know. So I have to clean up the beginning and the end. So I'm kind of the cleanup crew on the tape deal. Anyways, so just some little, but I'm looking for some editing software because, you know, we want these podcasts to be kind of cleaned up and fun, and you don't want to have to sit there. It's like, well, when is this thing going to start? You know, we got a 2-minute delay in the beginning. So a little bit of housekeeping news for you. Let's see. Oh, the website, believe me, I'm not even going to give you the links. I don't even want you to go. Okay, now that I'm saying that, you probably all rush to the website, which is www.pastorpaul.org, and go there. But, you know, it's a wreck. I have to clean it up. Actually, I want to let you know, I fired myself as web madam. Okay? So, but then I had to hire myself back again because nobody wanted the job, you know. So if anybody out there is looking for a job, and by the way, your the payment that you get for the job, you'll receive from the Lord because we don't have any money down here. Okay, enough with all the sad stories. Okay, so don't go to www.pastorball.org because I'm going to redo it the best that I can using old software. Front Pages 2003, which Microsoft doesn't even want to admit to. So there we go. But enough with all of that and my sad, sad story. Let me turn down this. Getting a little feedback. Yeah, Pastor Paul, he's gotten a lot of feedback in the days too. All right, so what do we want to talk about real quickly? The message is for the month of April. Okay, let me give you the rundown here. The month of April, I'll probably redo this. Maybe I will, maybe I won't, the intro here. But anyways, I'm going to be redoing everything. I'm just a totally dissatisfied hostess with the mostess, web madam, and I'm just firing all of those. And you know, I'm going to hire myself as the chief marketing technologist and just get rid of all these things. You know, it's like you get multiple personalities. Okay, so here are the messages for the month of April. The first one, which is where I was in the belly of the computer abyss, the big fish, the big computer fish. How's your memory? It's a good one. Second, now I see. Third, I would be persuaded if, we know some people that's going to really minister to. I would be persuaded if, my God, there we have it, four messages. So we've got the 8th, the 15th, 22nd, 29th. There you go. I am glad to be back. Listen, you have to hear this. The car alarm. Can you believe it? Yeah, it goes off all the time. Have a great month. I really did miss you.
House payment is coming. The devil is coming. You start to faint already before it even happens. I mean, no, you can get defeated before it even happens. Is that right? Well, the Bible tells us, don't worry about tomorrow, because today has enough evil all of its own. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow it'll only bring you sorrow. Tomorrow may not come. Might not even come. That thing that you're fainting over might not come either. Some big old mean dude or some kind of old mean old whatever. Are you hearing? Did you ever think that something good might happen? You could die. Well, you're a Christian, aren't you? That'd be good, wouldn't it? Better that I go. Well, but if I'm to stay here, well, okay, then I'll stay here. I hate to, but I will. Okay, come on. But if you're already fainted already? That's like today when you were driving the truck and you were out here and you were in kind of a faint condition. Remember, Wayne? Oh, I got lost, he said, and I was understanding because I've been that way. Only thing, I'm not so vocal. I got lost. I feel like quitting, but I'm not going to quit. He was talking to himself. Praise God, he talked himself right back into the truck and then into the next store. But see, there was a soul faint coming on. And you know what? When you get into a soul faint, Wayne, there'll always be people to help you. When you get fainting in your soul. Yeah, isn't that the way of it? I know how it goes, Wayne. Maybe you better take 2 years off. Isn't that right? Maybe you better go someplace and take it easy. You know, the worst thing to do when you have a motorcycle accident, that is if you want to ride a motorcycle, I mean, that's crazy to do it anyway, but if you're crazy and you want to ride it again, the worst thing that you can do after you have an accident is sit and think about that accident instead of picking that bike up and going again with it. And that's exactly what you did. You took that experience, you got back in the truck and went again. I said, well, that's going to happen until you find your way. Isn't that right? Wasn't your soul fainting when you went out there and you had to take that test? It did, didn't it? You were yelling over that great big speaker? No, over here, get that car out of lane four. Get over there, get out of there. Well, you could have gave up right there and not done it. Oh, this is too much. Now, how many people are there that give up before they go in to go get in a job? And they get inside there and their hands is all sweaty and they're all nervous. And that's okay. They should take their sweaty, nervous, smelling body in there and sit down and start writing. But they have a soul faint and they start to get weak in their, and they start to get weak in their heart and they have a fainting spell within. Oh, I can't do it. The devil says, that's right, you can't do it. You better get out of here before you puke. You're going to puke. You always do when you get nervous. Get out of here. Huh? Do you ever have that kind of fear? How many of you have that kind of fear? Sure you do. Tell the truth. Best thing you can do right then is grab a sack, puke in a sack, and then fill out the application. What else can you do? Oh, I made such a fool of myself. I puked in the bag. Be a fool. But don't faint. Are you into some kind of, how many are waiting for something to happen? There are so many guys. I talked to a guy years ago. He had 30-some years on the railroad, but then he was only 50-some years old. And he says, Oh, I hope the railroad lasts, because it's got to last another 7 years and I'll be able to retire. I'll be like 57 years old or something like that. Oh, if it doesn't last. Oh, I don't think it's going to last. Oh. And he suffered for all of that 7 years. Fainting every day that he went to work that he was going to lose his lousy job. He couldn't even sing, I've been working on the railroad all the livelong day. I've been working on the railroad just to keep the blues away. Can't you hear the whistle blowing? Rise up so early in the morning, huh? And why faint before you get your pink slips? Why faint before it even happens? Why wait for something that might not even happen? Why have those weak legs and those guts to churn? And so remember this, if you remember anything tonight. It's no strange thing that this is happening to you. If your soul faints because of difficulties or adversities that lie before you, well, remember to have the wisdom that we see here in Jonah to remember the Lord. Well, can you say that? I will remember the Lord. Say that. I will remember the Lord. Say it again. I will remember the Lord. Okay, now you're going to come into all kinds of different kind of difficulties in your life. Maybe you won't be too popular. And you got to say to yourself, in the belly of that fish, in that situation where your knees are weak and you're ready to faint, that looking ahead to something that might not happen, what do you have to say? I will remember the Lord. Well, what do you remember about the Lord? Hasn't he delivered you thus far? How many fishes have you been in? How many situations have you been in your life that God delivered you? God, it says in the Bible, deliver me from lying lips. Have you ever been delivered from lying lips? Isn't that beautiful when you're delivered of lying from lying lips? How many have been delivered from lying lips? Did you ever have somebody lie about you? Do you ever want to yell at these people, liar, liar, pants on fire? I don't know how the rest of it goes, but something like that. Couldn't get through the kitchen door? No, that's not it. That's fatty, fatty 2x4. But whatever. Lord, deliver me. Who is your deliverer? The Lord. Because only there does your strength lie, in the Lord. There is no other strength outside of the strength of the Lord. You ever try to go on your own strength? And you're all built up. Get built up in the faith. And you built your own faith up, your own brand of faith? No, your faith is faith in the Lord. You're built up in your faith in the Lord. You're not built up in your own. I am built up. I went to a seminar on how to do it. How long does it last till you get out of the door? And that's why people quote these scriptures back and forth to each other, back and forth. They're trying to convince themselves. But God isn't in them. A lot of times the Lord isn't in them. Because it's just lip action. There's no action with it. But also faintness will also come upon the true Christians in connection, I believe, with the pressures of actual sorrow. A death. A Judas friend. Doesn't that make you faint? Don't you feel sick in your guts? when you got a friend that Judasizes out on you? Isn't there a song like that? Hey, Jude. It's short for Judas. Da 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 da. Isn't that how it goes? Right? Doesn't that make your soul faint? Oh, God. Oh, I'm getting sick. Did you ever have a friend that Judasized out on you? Ooh. Maybe it's an unfaithful mate. Maybe it's a great financial loss. Maybe it's slaughter by slander. Did your soul ever faint? Preacher, you hear this? You ever walk into a room and it happens all times to preachers. And you walk in, maybe you're in a denominational church that just, maybe a turn charismatic and everybody for the first few years of the automatic weaponry, I call a charismatic move automatic weapons. Okay? And everybody was praising God and everything and they were dancing. And pretty soon they got sick of each other. It's the truth. Say amen, somebody. Oh. I mean, they sort of got sick of each other, and they got sick of their pastor out there in the suburbs. Now, I speak from actual experiences of talking to many pastors all around the country. So the people started to get mean. The only thing now is they were a little more spiritual about it. They found verses to go with their meanness. Did you know that you can use the scriptures to your own destruction? Well, you're using them against someone else, but it's to your own destruction. You can quote all these scriptures to somebody else, but see, they're meant for you. When you read the Bible, it's for you. It's not for somebody else. Here's a good scripture for that bum. And I'll call him up or I'll call her up and I'll give him this scripture. And Pastor McNutt out here, I hope there's nobody with that kind of a name, but McDougal or whatever. And so Pastor, there you are out there and all of a sudden you walk in this room or you walk up and you're behind a pulpit and you're looking out there at a bunch of strangers. Does your little heart go faint? Does it go pity-pat and just sort of like you drop a marble in a great big bowl and it rattles around for a while? Huh? Or maybe you have a friend and you're in school or something and you walk down the hall and all of a sudden everybody turns and gets real busy in their locker. Does that make your soul faint? Huh? I'm talking about fainting inwardly. And you see people all over that are fainting inwardly. Young people. People that have been married just a little while. I'm not talking about you. You just happen to be here. And they're only married for a year and a half. Okay, got you off there. 2 years. 3 years, whatever. And you see them with a fainting look on their face, and you say, oh my God. Isn't that an icky feeling when you have that faint? And you start to lose it, and your hands hang down, and you start to walk differently. And your eyes are glassy and they're straight ahead. And there's words coming at your ears, but you don't hear them. It's sort of a... Huh? See, how do you know that, Pastor? Well, because I deal with people like that all day long. And at a period in my life, one time I went through that, and I'll tell you one thing, it is hell. Have you ever been in a room and people are talking, you don't hear a word of what they said because you're so involved in your own faint? How many have experienced that? It's really hellish. And I think we need to remind each other of this so that when we see someone like that, that we don't give them confirmation by the way they look. I'm going to give them a confirming word. Huh? Careful with your words. Say amen, somebody. Now, I know you don't like what I'm saying, you listening on the radio. It doesn't make no never mind to me. Somebody has to say it. But are you hearing this? Preacher? I seen a couple of young kids. They were like 17 or 20 years old. And I said, well, is your dad still over here at this church? Oh, no, they got rid of him. They sent him down to Iowa someplace. Well, preacher, if you're listening to me and you get a hold of this tape and you're down in Iowa, be glad you're down in Iowa. Da da da, in a place down in Iowa. Da 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 da. Hey, they meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, and He got you out of there, sonny boy. You're lucky, fortunate, blessed. Person came to me and says, oh, my heart is really, 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 I feel faint in my heart. This is the sixth pastor we've gone through in 4 years. Two of them, one tried to commit suicide and the other one made it. One went to the hospital, had a heart attack. Well, you know what happened? You did not remember the Lord. How many in here from now on are going to remember the Lord? I am. Remember? Oh, yeah. See, hearts may bear up for months and months. And years and years and years and years, but under a constant dripping faucet, Chinese torture pressure, it falls into despair. A man can't always be poor. And a woman can't always be misused. And kids can't always be slapped and beat on. The man can't always be slandered and put down and rejected. Oh, no. The man can't always be friendless without sometimes being tempted to say, my heart is so weary, when will this ever, ever pass? Oh, my God, I'm tired. Have you said that, preacher? Well, what is the antidote here? Remember the Lord. And yes, the very choices of God's elect through long sorrow and heavy, heavy distress can be ready to faint from adversity. Yes. Also, it happens to the earnest Christians who are diligent in service and see no fruit. Oh, that's terrible when they're diligent and they can see no fruit. They till and they till thankless soil. They cast their bread on the water and dead fish and tin cans and old boots float up on shore and their heart becomes faint. And yet it's a real test of your love. When you see nothing and you still trust. When you say, though that thou slay me, yet will I trust you, Lord. I think it's a very noble thing to keep right on a preaching like Noah. Noah preached his whole lifetime amid reproach, amid ridicule, unbelief. But see, not every man could do something like that. Most of us need success to endure. When will something good happen? Maybe never. Maybe you're in a ministry preacher where you'll never see anything good. Never see anything good happen. That doesn't mean that it is not happening. That means that maybe you'll not see it happen in your lifetime. But some of us have to continually and constantly always see something. I want results. Some must also have present victories to continue. Or they lay down their armor and quit. I quit. Nothing's happening. I quit. Oh, don't do it, preacher. Don't do it. The Bible says, having done all, stand. It doesn't say, having done all, faint. I think that this very suggestion is a lie. I think a lot of times people think that no one else has ever gone through this thing. Isn't that a lie? Do you feel like you're all alone and no one has ever gone through that thing? Nothing will befall you that is yet not common to man. Common. Well, how about this one? Common. But how about this perverted thing? Common to man. Isn't that suggestion a lie? Didn't David faint? Didn't Samson and Elijah and Paul and Peter and all fainted? But what happened? They came to. They came around. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right. Huh? They all came to. Don't ever give way to faintness. Don't ever listen to the enemy. Don't throw away your confidence. Have you ever been tempted to throw away your confidence? Oh, don't do it. But notice the saints' last resort. Jonah, in his terrible circumstance, says that he remembered the Lord. See, Jonah, like most of us, forget God until the seaweed is around our neck and it's strangling us, and we can barely say, Lord, 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 and the seaweed's around our neck, Lord. You never called on the Lord when you were strong and you could have said, Lord. No, you got to wait till seaweed's around. You're all slimy, your eyes are glued shut, your mouth and your nose is all full of this mattery crap. They don't. Huh? You know what to remember? Always remember that the Lord's mercy endureth forever. But then he did something else. He remembered his power. And he said something like this. I'm in such a strait that I can't help myself, but I know that he can help me. God does not get pressured. How many know you cannot pressure God? God does not get shook. You get shook. God is the shaker. You are the shook. Anyway, when I'm ignorant, I remember the wisdom of the Lord. Oh my God, what is this? I know God's going to guide me. I know God's going to guide you. I know that God loves you, and I know he's going to guide you. And I know the scriptures well enough to know that you don't have to faint. And I know that if I commit my way unto him, my soul will take courage. God, God has all things under control and all things are working together for good. Should I accept good from God and not evil? He's the author of both, you know. I got to see Him with my eyes on Him, the eyes of faith. My Father, my God, in Thee do I trust. I have never put trust in You, Lord, but You've never let me down. And I think you ought to question your unbelief. Well, has He let you down? No! You start to argue with yourself. And so if your soul sinks, remember the nature and character and the attributes of God. When you have remembered His nature, remember His promise. I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. Remember that one. Never. Well, when God says never, what does that mean? And in fact, in the original Greek, it says never, no, never, no, never, no, three times. Thy shoes, it says, shall be iron and brass. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Oh, that's a good promise. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. No good thing will I behold from them that walk uprightly. And so to you suffering and fainting right now. I know this will probably be like a handful of corn like given to Ruth, but take it. Talk to the Lord and say, do as thou hast said, and your spirit will be revived. Remember the covenant. How great, I thought, the covenant of God. God has entered into an agreement with His Son who represents His people. And He says, as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, or rebuke thee. Praise the Lord for the Word of God. And then it says in the Bible, and I'm closing, for the mountain shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed. I will not remove my peace. And I think we can also say with Samuel, although my house be not so with God, yet hath He made me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. When everything else goes wrong, cling in the power of the Holy Ghost to the covenant mercies. And your spirit, the Bible tells us, and I know it's true, shall be at peace. And when we remember the Lord, we remember all of our past victories. We remember all of our deliverances. Now, Alicia, you've been in this ministry a long time. Hasn't this ministry been through a whole lot of things, and hasn't God delivered it out of a whole lot of things? We've gone this far by faith. Should we turn back now? Should we get into the flesh now? Should we get into a flesh sweat? Oh, how He helped us through problems over and over and over and over again. And how He has never given us occasion for doubting Him. He has helped us through harder times. Yes, He has. We have tested His faithfulness. We have tested His power. We have tested His goodness in heavier times than we're seeing right now. Well, they're heavier times. They were heavier times then because we weren't built up like we are now. Now we're more conditioned to it. Actually, you're seeing more horrendous things that are happening in the end. But if your ministry and your particular ministry and your ministry has been through these trials and been built up in these trials and been built up in the faith through trials and tribulation and persecutions, it isn't that they're lesser. They're probably more, but you're more apt to handle them now. You know, and you trust God. You know that God is able. You'll never know God is able until you've been in the trial and the test of it. Why is it that people distrust the Lord 20, 30, 50, 70 years in the Lord? He hasn't changed. He hasn't changed. He hasn't changed at all. It's just we've come hot and cold, hot and cold, hot and cold. But anyway, let's look at the success of Jonah's prayer, and let's look at him now. He started to pray. And as he started to pray, and as he called upon the name of the Lord, something happened. Maybe you're in a very severe trial while I'm talking here tonight. Cry out to God. I know you are with me. And you who are not saved and listening to this tape, this radio, and you're fainting and you've run out of hope and you feel desolate. You feel like you're falling apart and you feel like you got the heebie-jeebies and you're all sweaty and you... Maybe you're a coke freak. Maybe you're into alcohol. Maybe you're a prostitute. Maybe you're an alcoholic. Maybe you're fearful. Maybe you're fainting out there. Well, rejoice. The way to the door of faith is through the gate of self-despair. Cry out like Jonah with the seaweed wrapped around his neck. Save me! And you know what? God will hear. Yes, many are fainting as we come close to the end, saved and unsaved. Psalm 27:13 says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Yeah, faintness is a very common thing in Christianity. See, we must believe to see and not see to believe. And so tonight I've said under sore trouble and distress, labor to exercise the strong and lively faith. Oh, and that's when you get built up in your faith, to labor to have that kind of faith. When you're in sore trouble and distress, how do you do that? By remembering the Lord. When my soul fainteth within me, then I remember the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into the holy temple. And all of your self-sufficiency is slain. No more soul power. Yet faints, praise God. Now remember the Lord. Maybe you got a testimony, you listening on the radio. When I was in trouble, when I was a drunk, when I this, when I that. Well, what did you do? I remember the Lord. When I was having terrible mental difficulties, well, I remembered the Lord. When he delivered me from this or that or whatever, well, then I remembered the Lord. When my prayer was answered, well, it was answered when I remembered the Lord. My finances came in, but when did they come in? When you remembered the Lord. And as you start to pray him, that big old fish will start to surface and belly up on the top of the water and deliver you right to your Nibbana. God will tell you then, you are headed towards your experience, your Nibbana experience, to tell of coming judgment and to speak of my present mercy, to tell of his son and of his salvation. That's what it's all about anyway, isn't it? Don't let your soul faint. Remember the Lord. Yeah. My last months I've had to remember the Lord. You know what? It's kept my soul from thinking. You preacher out there, you have that soul faint? Oh, God. Did your dad ever have that? He preaches. Is your dad's a minister? Did you ever have... like his soul was fainting, and you knew something was wrong. You went home, and this looked like his soul was fainting. Well, there is an antidote. You know what that is? Remember the Lord. Isn't that simple? When somebody's really giving you a hard time, you go, and they say, "What's wrong with you?" I say, "I just remembered the Lord." Huh? It dawned on me. I remembered the Lord right in the middle of your mess here. In your, I feel so much better now. Are you quite finished? Better be careful, because I remember the Lord. Huh? Isn't that what it's all about? To remember the Lord? A lot of times when people are dying, they remember the Lord. Physical. A lot of times it takes a dying inwardly. A sort of a faint spell. And then they remember the Lord. What are you going to do next time you get into trouble? Remember the Lord. That's all you have to remember. You don't have to remember anything else. You don't have to remember 15 verses that got you out of trouble. They won't mean nothing to you the next day anyway. Did you ever read a verse of Scripture that night and it just quickened in your spirit? Woo! Get it vibrate all over me. And it did. It does. It actually does. The next day you read it again, doesn't mean a thing to you. Did you ever have that? You go to church and say, this is what got me free. And you say, oh, that doesn't even make sense now. Why? Time marches on. See, God doesn't want you to get stuck on one piece of Scripture. Because you know why he doesn't want you to get stuck on one? You start a church on that one piece of Scripture and get off. No. The whole total message is remembering the Lord. That's why you have communion. As often as you do this in remembrance of me. That's what it's all about, you know, having communion with God, remembering the Lord. You don't remember the Lord. You don't even talk to the Lord hardly anymore. He becomes distant. And that's what I wonder about works like what we're in down here. I mean, a tremendous work, a move of God, and that the mission isn't even considered a lot of times. We do things and we don't even consider the mission or the mission that God has called a body to, and we can just do hellish things. And not for one time consider the sisters and the brothers that have got the stone face, that have got the dead glassy-eyed stare, that have children that are in trouble, and yet we do not even consider the Lord. We do not remember the Lord. Where were you when I was the sick and the prison and the widowed? Where were you when I was in trouble? We do not consider the Lord. We don't even consider our mission. Better start to consider it. Because that's remembering the Lord. Well, we didn't know that you had any of these kind of needs. Well, I'll tell you, if you've done the least of mine, you've done it to me. You didn't remember them, then you didn't remember me. That's what my heart is burdened with. That there's so much sham and so much pretense going on, not just here, all over. And it's like everybody's in a perpetual Bible study. Oh, gads. You know what I mean? They're in a perpetual Bible study. Well, aren't you supposed to study the Bible? You're supposed to put the Bible to work. You're supposed to put the Word to work and consider what you're doing before you do it. How many heard this message tonight? See, I myself am very, very concerned about this mission down here. I went in, I had this accident. I went down here and I was going to this chiropractor in there. So I thought, well, I'm going to get in with this guy and I have to kind of have fun with him and so on like that. He's kind of a serious guy. He's a Baptist friend of mine now. He's just become a friend of mine. So he's cranking on my neck and getting on. One time he cranked on it and when his wrist snapped, I says, aha, that was not my neck, it was your wrist. Serves you right. But through this kind of, well, call it silliness, if you will, I got to minister the gospel to him, and he sat for, my appointment only takes like 5 minutes. I kept him in there 15 minutes ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ to him. I bent him so out of shape, I almost had to do a chiropractic treatment on him. You know what I mean? And his secretary, I went out and I started ministering to her, and man, she was just eating it up, and the power of the Holy Ghost was in there, was just so ever present. And I says, you know what, I am going to give you the privilege of helping me out. You are going to help me out. You are going back to your church as an elder, and I'm going to give you the privilege of helping me out with money. I didn't even shock him. So the next time he kind of says, did you bring that brochure with you? I says, no, but I will. I'm getting it ready. And I said, sister, you're the same way. I'm going to give you the privilege of doing the work of the Lord. And you know it's a privilege. What a privilege it is to serve the Lord. I mean, it's a privilege. It's a privilege to be down here. It's a privilege to serve the Lord. See, you can find all kinds of excuses to get out of it. You can find something wrong with this person. You don't like this. You don't like the vehicles. You don't like the blue. The church is blue. You never cared for blue. Oh, man, you can find a million excuses not for doing something. Isn't that right? Man, we can. And it says, and they all of one accord. They made an excuse. You hand tailor it. You make it. It's like you sew a dress together. You make an excuse. Here's my excuse. And you hand it to somebody. Handmade. Hand stitched. Well, it won't hold nothing. It won't hold beans. There's holes in it. Did you hear this message tonight, girls? And what are you going to do when you get into trouble and you have soul faintness? You're going to what? Remember the Lord. That's all we have to do. Where are you girls from? Where are you from? What church do you come from? Living Word Church, and that's where? Brooklyn Park. Are you from Living Word?
No, I'm looking.
You're looking for a church? Well, you found one. I didn't say you were going to stay here, but I said you found a church. See, now don't misinterpret what I said there. You know what I mean? You actually found one. See? Now, she wants you to find the Living Word. Well, if that's the one, well, you can go. No, I'm having fun. You know what I mean? But we all see. But find, pray about it, and find a church God wants you to be in, right? See. And so you're shopping for a church. One time, and I'll just tell you what that can bring. One time, a whole family come in here, and they said, "Brother, we're going to try you out today." And I know this isn't you, but you're just visiting tonight. "We're going to try you out today. We've been to four other churches. Every Sunday we're going to go to church, and we have to report back to our pastor and tell him what we think of those churches out there. So you're on trial today." So I got up, and I thought about that a little while. I thought, "God, I'm on trial." I says, "Folks, you see this whole family down here today? They are on trial. They are on trial. They are the Whiner family. There's Daddy Whiner, Mama Whiner, Freddie Whiner, and Sally Whiner. And they're, we're looking for our church, you know? And we are going to have them on trial today to see whether we want them in here or not. Now, Whiner family, when you come in here, you are going to work your feet off. We are going to put you to work. You're going to be a mission person. Do you want that?" I never seen them again. You remember that family? Sat right down over there. They never came back again. Scared them right out of here. Praise God, we didn't have to waste time with them. You know what I mean? Really. But anyway, going on here, remember the Lord. So are you born again, honey? Okay. Is there anybody in here that's not born again in the balcony?
My memory's a lot better after that message. Be sure to be back here next Friday, April 15th, for Now I See. God bless you and have a great week.
Get ready, you got to move.